Okay, so are you ready to go on a little adventure with me today?
Always up for an adventure.
All right, excellent. The Church of Tinkerbell podcast.
Faith, imagination, the power of belief.
Love and acceptance to make the world a better place.
What would happen if we all just tried to see the world through the eyes of a child again, even for a moment?
It's a beautiful thought, isn't it?
It is.
The Church of Tinkerbell.
The Church of Tinkerbell. All right, I'm intrigued. Okay, so today we're going deep on something pretty crucial, I think.
Yeah.
And that is how we understand autism.
Right.
We're not just talking about awareness anymore.
Right.
But like really a shift towards appreciation, acceptance, and understanding.
Exactly. And I think we have a really great piece to kind of springboard off of here from the Church of Tinkerbell.
Okay.
It's called Autism Appreciation.
Oh.
Moving beyond awareness to understanding and inclusion. And it was written March 31st, 2025.
Gotcha.
So really recent.
Okay.
And I think it really clearly articulates this need for an evolution in perspective.
Right.
So I think what we're going to try to do today is unpack why this is happening, what it actually means.
Okay.
And how it benefits not only autistic individuals.
Right.
But society as a whole.
Yeah, that's a great point, and that's a good place to start, because I think for years we've seen, like, you know, the ribbons and the months and, you know, all of the things that are designed to bring awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this article does a really good job of articulating why simply being aware is not enough.
It's not enough.
What do you see as the core difference?
Well, I think awareness can be really superficial.
Okay.
You know, you can be aware that there's, you know, a certain species of bird.
Right.
But you may never really understand,
okay,
you know, its unique song or its,
right,
you know, role in the ecosystem.
Okay.
And I think appreciation is, you know, as the article brilliantly points out,
it's
much deeper than that.
Okay.
It involves really valuing autistic individuals for who they are.
Okay.
Recognizing their inherent worth and the different perspectives,
okay,
that they bring to our shared world.
Okay. So to get to that appreciation,
yeah,
I think we need a clearer picture of what autism actually is.
Right.
And the article does a good job of kind of setting that foundation,
yeah,
by defining it as a neurodevelopmental difference.
Mm-hmm.
So could you kind of expand on that? Like, what does that fundamentally mean for how someone experiences life?
Well, I think if we look at autism in terms of this, you know, greater concept of neurodiversity.
Right.
You know, the idea that variations in neurological development are completely natural.
Mm-hmm.
Then understanding it as a neurodevelopmental difference really highlights.
Right.
That it stems from these, you know, variations in brain development.
Okay.
That influence how different neural pathways form and function.
Right.
Which can then lead to different ways of processing information.
Yeah. And that in turn affects all these core aspects of how someone perceives the world around them, how they process information from it, their ways of communicating, how they navigate social interactions.
Exactly.
So it's not like a singular characteristic or like a, you know, a binary thing. It's
a spectrum.
It's a spectrum.
Yeah.
And a very important point I think the article makes is that it's a difference in brain wiring.
Right.
Not an illness or a flaw.
Exactly.
And that really kind of flips the script on, you know, the way we've traditionally thought about autism.
Yeah. I mean, it moves us away from this idea of, you know, needing to find a cure.
Right.
But instead to understanding and supporting a different way of being.
Right.
And the article gives some, I think, really interesting examples of how this wiring, you know, manifests differently.
Right.
Take sensory processing, for example.
Yeah.
You know, for some autistic individuals, the hum of a refrigerator can be as loud,
right,
as a rock concert.
Wow.
To them.
Yeah.
And so that really, you know, alters their experience,
sure,
of everyday environments.
Right. And communication isn't just about verbal language.
Right.
The piece mentions that, you know, autistic people might communicate in ways that aren't always typical,
mm-hmm,
including, you know, nonverbal communication.
Mm-hmm.
What are some important things to understand about that?
Well, I think for some autistic people, it's important to not think of nonverbal communication as a supplement to speech.
Right.
But their primary language,
yeah,
rich with nuances we might overlook. So this could be things like, you know, gestures that might not be immediately obvious to a neurotypical person.
Right.
Facial expressions that communicate powerfully, but might look different.
Okay.
The use of assistive communication technologies,
what?
Or even communicating through patterns of behavior and, you know, established routines.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, recognizing the validity and richness of these diverse communication styles,
right,
is really crucial.
Yeah. And the article also touches on the significance of routines and like focused interests.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we kind of have a general understanding of that, but you know, why are they so important?
Well, I think they can provide essential predictability.
Okay.
And a sense of calm.
Okay.
In a world that often feels, you know, very overwhelming to someone.
Right.
With, you know, sensory processing differences.
Sure.
For example.
Right. And then when it comes to, you know, social cues,
mm-hmm.
it's not that autistic individuals lack understanding.
Right.
It's just they might process them differently.
Right. Or the unspoken social rules that many neurotypical people sort of learn implicitly might need to be learned more explicitly.
It's interesting.
You know, by autistic individuals.
And then the final thing about that is that, you know, mm-hmm. it's really important to understand that while the expression of emotions
right.
might differ,
yeah.
the depth of feeling is still there.
Absolutely.
So we've kind of gone through, you know, the basics, I think, of what autism is,
mm-hmm.
and really, I think, painted a much more nuanced picture mm-hmm. than maybe a lot of people have.
Yeah.
And I think it's good to then move into, you know, what are some of the common misconceptions and misrepresentations of autism?
Mm-hmm.
Because for so long, I think it has been viewed through this very narrow, often medicalized lens,
yeah.
emphasizing what were seen as deficits.
Right.
So what kind of impact has that had, do you think?
I think it's had a profoundly negative consequence.
Okay.
I mean, it's fueled so much misunderstanding and fear and stigma
right.
surrounding autism.
Right.
And then you connect that to broader societal biases
yeah.
towards anything perceived as different.
Yeah.
And you can see how this has really led to some systemic issues.
And the article even points out that some early awareness campaigns
right.
actually kind of framed autism as a tragedy,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is really a stark contrast to where we're trying to go here.
It is.
And then we have these autism warrior narratives and the concept of a lost child.
Mm-hmm.
Why are those so problematic?
Well, they can be very disempowering.
Okay.
For autistic individuals.
Right.
The warrior narrative positions autism as an enemy to be fought.
Right.
Rather than a natural variation to be understood and supported.
Right.
And then this lost child
yeah.
trope implies that the autistic person is somehow absent or inaccessible.
Right.
Which just simply doesn't align with their lived experiences.
Right. It really kind of overshadows their own voices.
Exactly.
And perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you can't forget the savant stereotype.
Right.
You know, often amplified by things like the movie Rain Man,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, those stories can be interesting and captivating.
Yeah.
But the article highlights how they really kind of erase the vast diversity within the autistic community.
Exactly.
And create these unrealistic expectations.
Mm-hmm.
It's like saying, you know, every neurotypical person is a mathematical genius.
Yeah.
It doesn't reflect reality.
Well, it doesn't.
So what are the real world consequences then of holding on to these
mm-hmm.
outdated portrayals?
Well, I think they're far reaching.
Oh.
You know, they contribute to the perpetuation of harmful normalization therapies
okay.
that aim to suppress autistic traits rather than focusing on the individual's well-being and development.
Right.
They also lead to autistic adults being overlooked in crucial areas like employment, healthcare, community support.
Yeah.
As the focus has really primarily been on childhood interventions.
You know, they contribute to this very concerning issue of misdiagnosis and underdiagnosis,
mm-hmm.
particularly affecting autistic people of color.
Right.
And then I think, you know, perhaps most profoundly, they can foster feelings of deep alienation
mm-hmm.
and really hinder autistic individuals from fully embracing their own identity.
So it really underscores why this shift in perspective is so critical.
Yeah.
It's moving away from trying to fix autistic individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And as the article says, you know, fixing the way we see autism.
Exactly. And I think that's the fundamental change that we need.
Right.
You know, the challenge isn't within autistic individuals themselves.
Right.
But in how society understands and accepts neurodiversity.
And a cornerstone of that shift in understanding is really listening to autistic voices.
Yes.
And the article emphasizes that genuine appreciation
mm-hmm.
begins with that act of listening.
Mm-hmm.
So can you talk a little bit about the power of autistic self-advocacy?
Well, I think what's really you know, significant here is that for decades, autistic individuals have been, you know, actively and passionately sharing their lived experiences, their insights, their challenges, and their joys. And this self-advocacy has been absolutely pivotal in dismantling those outdated narratives and promoting a more accurate and respectable understanding of autism.
Yeah. And the rise of movements on social media and things like Autistic Pride Day are such powerful examples of, you know, autistic people taking ownership of their stories and shaping the conversation. So the article kind of highlights some key messages that have emerged from this, you know, powerful wave of self-advocacy. And one of the phrases that really stands out to me is nothing about us without us.
Yes.
Which I think really speaks to the importance of including autistic people in any discussion or decision that affects their lives.
It's a core tenet of disability rights.
Right.
You know, and it emphasizes that autistic people are the foremost experts on their own experiences.
Exactly.
And therefore must be central to, you know, research policy development, the creation of services intended to support them.
Another crucial message, I think, is presume competence, which is such a powerful statement and really shifts the fundamental assumption, I think. So what does that look like in practice?
Well, I think presume competence challenges this pervasive tendency to underestimate autistic individuals' abilities based solely on differences in their communication style or outward behavior. You know, essentially it's starting from a place of they can understand, even if it doesn't look the way we expect. You know, it means assuming that an individual has the capacity to learn, think, and communicate. Even if those abilities aren't immediately apparent or expressed through conventional means. It's about, you know, providing the necessary supports and opportunities to facilitate their communication and full participation rather than making assumptions of inability.
And then there's this evolution in language itself, this move towards acceptance over awareness. Could you explain why acceptance is a more meaningful goal?
Well, I think the distinction here is really critical. Awareness simply acknowledges the existence of autism. Whereas acceptance goes much further. By validating autistic ways of being as inherently valuable. And natural variations of human neurobiology. You know, awareness can sometimes feel quite detached, almost like studying a phenomenon from a distance. Acceptance, on the other hand, really humanizes autistic individuals. It recognizes their inherent worth, their right to belong. And the validity of their unique experiences. It's about fostering a society where they feel genuinely seen, understood, and included just as they are.
And the article touches on symbolism as well, you know, noting the criticism of the puzzle piece and a growing preference for symbols like the infinity loop or the rainbow infinity. Why is that significant?
Well, I think symbols carry a lot of power in shaping public perception. And so, you know, the puzzle piece has historically been used to represent autism. But it's faced a lot of criticism from autistic advocates for its implication that autistic people are somehow incomplete or a mystery to be solved. And so I think, you know, the infinity loop, which represents neurodiversity, really emphasizes this continuous and diverse spectrum of human neurological variation. And then the rainbow infinity specifically celebrates autistic pride. And the beautiful diversity within the autistic community itself. And so I think this symbolic shift reflects a broader movement towards celebrating autistic identity. Rather than focusing on perceived deficits. Or a sense of something missing.
So this all leads to celebrating autistic strengths and the valuable contributions that autistic people make to society. And the article makes, I think, a really important pivot here to highlighting what autistic individuals bring to the table. So what are some of those strengths that are often overlooked?
So this is where I think we see that real shift in perspective. And it's very important. So the article highlights several areas where autistic individuals often demonstrate remarkable abilities. So this includes, you know, exceptional skills in problem solving, often approaching challenges with unique perspectives and innovative solutions. There's often a really strong and meticulous attention to detail, which can be so valuable in many professional fields. authenticity, a deep sense of honesty, mm-hmm. and unwavering integrity are often cited as, you know, key characteristics.
Right.
Many autistic individuals exhibit remarkable creative thinking and a capacity for, you know, really intense focused expertise
yeah.
in areas of particular interest.
Yeah, and then heightened sensory awareness.
Right.
Which, you know, while sometimes presenting challenges right. can also lead to, you know, unique insights and perspectives.
Absolutely.
That might be missed by others.
Yeah.
And I think it's compelling to consider that many historical figures, mm-hmm. even without formal diagnoses, may have exhibited autistic traits.
Right.
I mean, it really kind of underscores that these ways of thinking have always been a part of human history.
Yeah.
And have likely been, you know, drivers of innovation and progress.
I mean, we can't retroactively apply,
yeah.
you know, diagnostic labels.
All right.
But you know,
yeah.
when we look at the characteristics that are often associated with autism,
right.
it becomes, you know, highly probable that many brilliant minds throughout history were neurodivergent.
And the point being that the success and well-being of autistic individuals yeah. aren't about overcoming their autism,
right.
but being understood and supported as autistic people
exactly.
in environments that recognize and accommodate mm-hmm. their mm-hmm. needs and strengths.
Right.
So how do we take all of this understanding of strengths mm-hmm. and actually move toward fostering genuine inclusion and support?
Yeah.
in our lives and in society.
This is where I think that shift from appreciation to action
right.
becomes so important.
Okay.
So I think, you know, first and foremost,
yeah.
it's to actively seek out
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and learn from autistic people themselves.
Okay.
So, you know, engage with content created by autistic individuals.
Okay.
You know, follow their blogs,
yeah.
their social media presence,
mm-hmm.
read their books.
Yeah, okay.
You know, explore platforms where they're sharing their experiences and insights.
And then using respectful
Absolutely.
And person-affirming language.
Yes.
And I think, you know, as the article notes, a lot of autistic individuals prefer identity-first language, mm-hmm. like autistic person. But when in doubt, it's always respectful to ask.
Yeah, I think that's the best course of action.
What are some other tangible actions we can take?
I think actively challenging myths and misinformation.
Okay.
About autism, whenever we encounter them.
Yeah.
You know, I think we need to consciously think about making our environments more accessible.
Right.
You know, keeping in mind sensory sensitivities
yeah. mm-hmm.
and diverse communication needs in our workplaces,
yeah.
schools,
yeah.
and public spaces.
Right.
Advocating for neurodiverse hiring practices in employment.
Mm-hmm.
Ensuring that educational accommodations really support autistic students.
Yeah.
You know, pushing for inclusive policymaking at all levels of government.
Mm-hmm.
And within organizations, I think are all really crucial
right.
for creating systemic change.
And I think modeling acceptance and actively teaching children that differences are yeah. natural and valuable mm-hmm. is really important.
Yeah, it is.
To shaping future attitudes.
Absolutely.
So it really comes back to this fundamental idea that autistic people aren't,
yeah.
you know, somehow less than or broken versions
right.
of some neurotypical ideal.
Mm-hmm.
But as the article says, they're fully human, deeply feeling, wonderfully diverse individuals with their own unique ways of thinking, communicating, and experiencing the world.
Exactly. And recognizing and valuing autism as this natural
yeah.
and essential part of human neurodiversity
mm-hmm.
is the foundation of true appreciation.
Right.
It's about, you know, including celebrating
yeah.
and ensuring the well-being of autistic individuals
right.
within our society.
And the article also gives a really good list of resources.
Yes, it does.
Including, you know, organizations like ASAN, Neuroclastic Autism Level, UP, the National Autistic Society in the UK,
mm-hmm.
which are great places to continue the learning journey.
They're fantastic resources.
So as we wrap up, mm-hmm. I think we've really explored this evolution
yep.
from simply being aware of autism mm-hmm. to actively embracing appreciation, acceptance,
mm-hmm.
and a deeper understanding of
yeah.
the autistic experience.
It's more than just, you know, a change in terminology.
Right.
It really signifies a shift in how we perceive and interact with autistic individuals
right.
in our communities.
And I hope this deep dive has given you some good insight
yes.
into this evolution and really the richness
mm.
that autistic experiences bring to our world.
I think it has.
So as a final thought, I want to leave you with this. Consider how embracing diverse ways of thinking and being, not just within the context of autism, but across all facets of society, can really enrich our understanding of human potential and the world around us?
That's a great point.
What assumptions might you be holding?
Mm-hmm.
And how can you actively seek out and value
right.
the perspectives of those who experience the world differently from you?
It's a question we should all be asking ourselves.
Absolutely. It can reshape not just our understanding of autism,
yeah.
but our understanding of what it means to be human.
I think so. Thanks for going on this little adventure with me today.
Anytime.
And listener, keep sprinkling that fairy dust, all right? We'll see you next time.